ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 6, text 4. Tat prayaso na kartavyo, yata yurvyaya param, natatha vindate kshemam, मुकुंद चरणाम्बुजम्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed toward Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. Purport: we see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night, trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefit from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problem of their lives. Nor do they know what the real problem of life is. This is due to lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in darkness in the bodily conception of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of the society, people consider the body to be everything, and they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such a civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity toward knowing the real goal of life. People are simply wasting time and the valuable gift of human form, because a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like the cats and dogs is degraded in the next life. From human life, such a person is put into a cycle of continuous birth and death. Thus, one loses the true benefit of human life, which is to become Krishna conscious and solve life's problems. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. So in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj is giving spiritual education to his demoniac schoolmates or classmates. And this he is doing in absence of Shanda and Amark, professors of demonology and material enjoyment. And they are doing this during the free period, as I think was that Rohini Priya Prabhu mentioned, leisure time. So, generally in school, and for that matter in colleges and also universities, free period means mauj, masti. Use it for all kinds of enjoyment. In the school, for the boys, when there is a free period, it means jumping from one bench to the other, generally making caricatures of teachers, generally making a nuisance of themselves and enjoying themselves. That's a wonderful phase in one's life. I've also done it. So, but I remember that I was a student of St. Xavier's School, and we had one teacher. His name was Gurjar. We used to call him Gurjar sir. And he used to teach Sanskrit very beautifully, very nice teacher of Sanskrit. He told us that one day there was no teacher in the German class. So he was asked to go and sit in the German class. Now this Gurjar sir used to wear a black topi, shirt, and then a coat and dhoti. That was his dress, traditional dress. So we went into the classroom, and a lot of noise going about. And when the children saw this dhoti clad, you know, topi clad teacher coming in, they thought, ah, here is a nice time we'll have now at his disposal. But as soon as he went into the class, he asked the student, which was the last lesson that you studied? And fluently, for 40 minutes, he taught them in German. So the free period for them became a real education in German language. So it's not that always free periods can be utilized for mauz masti, but there are many who utilize it also for an effective cause and for an effective purpose. So here we find that Prahlad Maharaj is actually imparting spiritual instructions to his friends. And amazingly, the friends also are very attentive. They are not saying that here is a five-year-old giving a spiritual education. Doesn't matter, we can take it easy. No, they are also equally serious. So, Shripad Shankaracharya says that balastavat krida saktaha. That when one is bala, when young, at a tender age, there is this intense and very, very, what do you call, strong desire to play. Krida saktaha. So this is a natural propensity in all children. But we find here that Prahlad Maharaj is a brilliant exception. He's an exception to the rule. He's not like other children at all. And this we can understand that he's extraordinary because which child at the age of 5 can propound the Navavida Bhakti and give it to humanity, suffering humanity? No child could do that, excepting a Mahabhagavat. So, in English language, there is a saying, chip of the old block. What does that mean? Chip of the old block means that a son follows his father, follows in his footsteps. Now, looking at Prahlad Maharaj, can we call him chip of the old block? Not possible. Why? Because Hiranyakashipu was arrogance personified. He had all demoniac qualities. And Prahlad Maharaj, gentle, five-year-old, obedient, saintly child. So by no standard is Prahlad Maharaj entitled to be called chip of the block as far as his material father is concerned. But when it comes to his spiritual father, Narad Muni, he is every bit chip of the block. Every bit chip of the block. Now we find that he's not attached to sports. He's attached to spiritual practices. So he is very much like his spiritual father, Narad Muni, in this respect. We read in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Narad Muni, who is actually the son of a maid servant, Shudra actually, he is serving the Bhakti Vedantins during the Chaturmas, and he gets their causeless mercy. He actually is assisting his mother in serving the Bhakti Vedantins. Nevertheless, because of his humble attitude of service attitude, he gets the causeless mercy of the Bhakti Vedantins. And then, having got it, this young boy, almost of the same age as Prahlad at that point in time, he is not yet Narad Rishi, he is a maidservant son. He says, Dante adhruta kridanake anuvartini, chakruhu krupam yadyapi tulya darshanaha, shushru samane munayaha alpabhashini. So, Narad Muni is describing what were his own attributes when he was maid servant's son. He says, as far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled. Self-controlled. Dante means self-controlled. And he says, adhruta kridanake. He said that I had no attachment for sports. We are comparing Prahlad Maharaj with Narad Muni. Narad Muni says no attachment for sports. What is more, I was obedient. Anuvartini. Anuvartini means obedient. And also, I did not speak more than what is required. Alpabhashini. So, it is very, very difficult to find a child who has all these qualities. And Narad Muni has these qualities. So from this very sort of a gross comparison, we can see that Narad Muni is a Mahabhagavat, and so is Prahlad Maharaj at a tender age of 5 years. And what is the common quality that you see? We don't want to make comparison, but what is the common quality that you see in both? Both are compassionate and affection personified as far as suffering living entities are concerned. So this is one of the most endearing quality of a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. He is equal to all living entities. It does not discriminate. Just like when the rain falls, the rain doesn't discriminate. It falls in all areas. Just as when the sun shines, it shines everywhere. So like that, he is Tulya Darshanaha. And the same quality we see in Prahlad Maharaj also. So this quality of compassion and affection for the suffering humanity is something that is present in the Supreme Lord himself. He says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. Name Dveshwasti Na Priyaha. The Lord himself says, I am equal to everyone. And a Mahabhagavat inherits this wonderful quality of the Supreme Lord. And he is also equal to everyone. He doesn't discriminate also. So we find therefore that Narad Muni had this quality when through, you know, different millennia he came out from the body of Brahma. He became Devarshi Narad. We find that he travels everywhere and he distributes love of God. He distributes his compassion, his affection for suffering humanity. He doesn't bother whether the recipient is a saintly person like Prahlad or is a cruel guy like Mrigari. Right? Equal. And the self-same attitude we find also in Prahlad Maharaj. So we find here that he is giving spiritual education to his demoniac classmates. He is not thinking also whether they are, you know, very small children, whether they will absorb it, they will not absorb it. No. He just wants to give the wealth of spiritual knowledge which he has, and he wants to give it to his friends. He wants to share what he has. Isn't this also the principle which Srila Prabhupada has taught all of us? He said that if you prize Krishna consciousness, if you value it too much, then give it to others. Distribute what you have received to others. So the same principle is running through in our parampara. So we read in the previous verses before this that Prahlad Maharaj is talking to his classmates on very, very serious subject matters. We can't even imagine a child speaking on such topics. For example, he is saying that human life is very, very rare. It is precious and it is meaningful. Durlabham manusham janma tadapi adruvam arthadam. Arthadam. So there may be a degree of uncertainty, but it is arthadam. It is full of meaning. He is saying that. Then he is saying that what is the right age to start one's spiritual endeavors? He says, Kaumar acharit prajnyo. He himself is Kaumar. He himself is at that age. And therefore, being a Mahabhagavat, he has the authority to say this to children of his age. Now, I entered into Krishna consciousness at the age of 52. If I were to advise similarly to children, you know, children will, you know, throw chalks at me or, you know, throw dusters at me. It won't happen. But Prahlad Maharaj, their own age, a dedicated teacher, he is giving them instructions, so they are receiving it very nicely. So he's not saying, Prahlad Maharaj is making it very clear that spiritual life should be cultivated right in the beginning of one childhood. Not at the stage of, what is that, angam galitam, palitam mundam, dashanaveenam jatam tundam. He's not saying that. He's not saying that you should start your spiritual life when your whole body has shriveled due to old age. Or, you know, that your hair have become white, as they have become in my case. Or, for that matter, dashanaveenam jatam tundam, all your teeth have fallen. Ruddho yati gruhitva dandam. He's holding a stick and walking. That's not the age when you have to enter into spiritual life. Kaumarat acharit prajnyo. So Bhagavad Dharma is to be inducted at a very young age. So this is the instruction, very, very precious instruction that he's giving to actually his classmates, but is valid for all of us. for everyone. And then one more point he has made in his previous verse, that happiness and distress is available in any form of life according to our karma. So you get happiness and distress ayatnataha. You don't have to endeavor for happiness. You also don't have to endeavor for distress. They are like the two sides of the coin. Sometimes there will be happiness, sometimes there will be unhappiness. So Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya, Shitoshna Sukadukkada, Agamapayino Anityaste, Tam Titikshasu Bharata. Like two coins. These dualities exist. So he's saying here, Prahlad Maharaj says that sometimes, you know, we'll have a happy phase in our life. Every one of us has experienced this. It's like sometimes a happy phase, and then suddenly it goes down. Distress, again a happy phase. It keeps on alternating. So, and this is because of our whatever activities we have performed in our past life. So in the verse that we are now discussing, Prahlad Maharaj is forbidding. Look at his authority. He is forbidding endeavors for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development. So he is not saying that maybe, you know, little bit of endeavor for this is okay. He is not saying that. Very clear words. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed. It is almost like an injunction, right? It's an injunction, these things. Not to be. He's forbidding us. Why? Because they result in loss of time and loss of energy. So which are the endeavors that one should perform? For a devotee, that's a very important question. Which endeavors are allowable? So the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Dharma svanushtita pumsan vishvakshena kathasuya na utpadayet yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. So Srila Sutta Goswami tells the sages of Naimisharanya that whatever occupational duty you are doing, activities are so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. In other words, in simple words, the instruction is that we should dovetail our life, keeping the Lord in the center of everything that we do. This is also the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushma darpanam. So keeping the Supreme Lord Krishna in the center of our activities, we perform our various activities. We have to perform activities. We cannot refrain from doing it. Everybody has to do it. There is no such thing as, you know, I will not do any activity. It doesn't happen. We have to perform. But we have to keep the Lord in the center. So if things that we do are not even remotely connected with Krishna, there is no justification for doing the activities that we do. So in this material world, we are under the spell of Maya. The Lord has three energies, as everybody knows. He has got the internal energy, antaranga shakti. Then he has bahiranga shakti, that is the external energy, which we sometimes refer to as Maya. And he also has tatastha shakti, the marginal energy. We are the marginal energy component. So we are on the border line. If we so want, we can take shelter of antaranga shakti of the Lord and make our life successful. And if we so want, we can completely come under the spell of Maya and go down, get into the cycle of birth and death. One of the things that happens when we come under the spell of Maya is that a living entity starts performing so many fruitive activities. Sometimes we refer to them as karmis. Those who perform activities for getting some result, getting something out of it, they are called as fruitive workers. And you get so many categories of fruitive workers. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada categorizes them. So many fruitive workers. He talks about karmis. He talks about vikarmis. Akarma. All these things are, you know, dealt with in Bhagavad Gita as well as in Nectar of Instruction and other literatures of Srila Prabhupada. So basically, we find that the living entities are madly striving, endeavoring to get, you know, sense gratification. They want to get opulence. Prabhupada writes here that we see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and all night. So they are working literally like Prabhupada calls them, like dogs and hogs, just for getting some material enjoyment out of it. So all their endeavors are not directed towards the supreme goal of life. Savai pumsa paro dharma yato bhakti adokshade. Ahetuke apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So the endeavors are not towards realizing the goal of life, but only towards sense enjoyment, madly towards sense enjoyment. So Srila Prabhupada, in one of his purports, he writes that the gross materialists, he calls them gross materialists, and then there are others who perform, you know, activities according to the injunctions of the Vedas. But what are the gross materialists doing? Their endeavors are limited only to sense gratification. Only to sense gratification, nothing else. So they don't see beyond their material body, they don't see beyond the senses. So focused, revolving only around that. So Prabhupada says that there are two types of selfishness. Nobody wants to be, should not be a selfish, a devotee doesn't want to be selfish. But he says, Prabhupada says that materialistic people, there could be two types. One is concentrated selfishness. Concentrated selfishness is a living entity who is only worried about his body. He's only concerned about his body. He's not concerned about anything at all. Prabhupada calls it his body and, you know, those connected through his body. Aham mameti. That syndrome. That syndrome he has. So he's only worried about it. That Prabhupada calls it selfish. Selfishness which is concentrated. And what is the extended selfishness? Prabhupada says that centers around family, society, and communities, nation. So the same propensity to enjoy, that is there, but it is spread out in these forms. So fruitive workers, Prabhupada calls them, they are mad. Mad after sense gratification. And in this desire to have sense gratification, they do all kinds of abominable activities. This is referred to as vikarma. So Prabhupada refers to, in his purport, people are simply wasting time and the valuable gift of human form, because a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like the cats and dogs is degraded in next life. So he just performs his activity. Yena kena prakarena, get opulence, enjoy. That's the goal of life. So that being so, such a person, he has no future. He's just wasting his human form of life. So he's just simply wasting. And then there are others who want sense gratification. They're also pious. There are very many of them who perform pious activities according to scriptural injunctions, what is mentioned in the Vedas, they perform that. And what is the motive there? Also sense gratification. But sense gratification of a higher grade. They feel that in this material world, even if they have all the opulence, the sense gratification they get is not of that high standard. Nor is it, you know, long-lived. It is short-lived. Which is a fact. I mean, you cannot have, in this material world, you cannot enjoy yourself continuously. You cannot have enjoyment. Krishna has certified it. It is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. So, even if you struggle hard, you are not going to, you know, have sense gratification which will give you pleasure all the time. So, it's not simply not possible. And so, these people strive. They do sacrifices. They do this. Why? So that they can go to some higher planetary systems. Chandraloka or even planets above that. And there they can simply have a merry time, enjoy for many, many thousands of years sense gratification. So, is that also a successful endeavor? No. Bhagavad Gita emphatically says that it is not to be done. It says, Tetam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam kshine punne martelokam vishanti. So, such people whose endeavors are directed towards sense enjoyment, of course, as per the dictates of Vedas and other scriptures, they are also wasting their time. Because kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. So once their pious credits are exhausted, they are back to square one. They are back to Martyaloka, which is a place of birth and death. So the whole endeavor, therefore, is simply they are wasting their time. So Prabhupada writes in one of his purports, I think in Nectar of Instruction itself, he writes that those who are involved in impious activities and work hard like dogs and hogs, simply for material benefits, they do so for what? In pursuit of happiness, Prabhupada writes that they may have skyscraper buildings, tall buildings. They may construct so many new buildings, so many new centers. But does that give happiness? We see that there have been so many failed endeavors in this connection. We had that famous heart specialist, Dr. Mandke, right? He wanted to create a hospital which had even a helipad. But he died of heart attack. He died of heart attack even before the project could take off. Now I believe his wife is pursuing it. So the point to be made is that we may make endeavors, but when the endeavors are not towards the spiritual direction, we are really not in control. We may struggle hard, but the control is somebody else. Bhuktaram yajna tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram. He is the ultimate controller. He is going to control. And as Paramatma in the heart, he is also the sanctioning authority. Upadrushta anumanta. So we may make endeavors and we may think that our endeavor should give XYZ result, but it doesn't give. Many times there are failures. Many times there are frustrations. Because our karmic activities do not allow that to happen. The Paramatma in the heart doesn't give the sanction. So thus, there is only disappointment. Shrama evahi kevalam. That's what happens. So, what should be done? Here, Srila Prahlad Maharaj is giving a direction. Kshemam mukunda charanambujam. So take the shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda. Only he can extricate us from the cycle of birth and death. Anybody else we try to adore and worship in our life, our endeavors are going to be failure in that direction also. Or they will have limited success. The ultimate success is to go back home, back to Godhead. That success we'll not get if our endeavors are directed towards worshipping some demigods or taking shelter of this and that. It will not happen. Only if only we take shelter, Mukunda Charanambujam, when we do that, then we can hope to be free from this cycle of birth and death. So unfortunately, most of the living entities who are in this material world, they think that everything, happiness is connected only with their body. Prabhupada says, foolish people do not know that body and mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. Prabhupada's words are very, very emphatic, very, very carefully chosen. He says that body and mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. So we are not these bodies, we are the spirit souls. And the bodies that we have, our mind, everything, they are just garments, dresses, which get soiled very easily and which get destroyed also. So the body is not eternal. Jatasahi dhruvam mrityu. So guaranteed death is there for everyone. So spirit souls, spirit's needs must be fulfilled. There is that famous well-quoted example of an old lady who is polishing the golden cage. She has got a beautiful parrot in it. Not bothered about the parrot, doesn't give any food to the parrot, but just keeps polishing, looks, you know, spick and span, glitters. Okay, but what is the use? The bird within, dying. Similarly, most of the living entities in today's material world, we are more concerned with the external rather than the substantial, which is the inner part. So we don't take shelter of the Lord, we take shelter of Maya. And therefore, we keep on getting trapped more and more, more and more. And therefore, life loses all its meanings. So, Prabhupada says that simply cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird within. So, just dressing the body nicely, very decoratively, making it look attractive, that doesn't provide food for the soul. So for the Atma Prasidati, for the soul to derive real pleasure, it is very much necessary to supply food for the soul. And that beautiful path has been given to us in Parampara system. Prahlad Maharaj gives us Navavidha Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So, what should one do then? There are so many people suffering. So, Prabhupada says that the only solution is to give spiritual education to the people who do not know. We should not say that ignorance is bliss, let them do whatever they are doing. We should try and impart spiritual education. And here is Prahlad Maharaj very clearly letting us know that the best way for anyone to show compassion and affection for living entities is to become a preacher. That is the best way, right? And not that we just become preachers. All of us must be preaching. But we must not be preaching because it gives us intellectual joy or intellectual pleasure. Many times when somebody doesn't know a thing, giving him some direction, giving him some help, it actually boosts up our own ego. Isn't it? We feel nice. I've helped such and such a person. Even that's the natural propensity. Ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate. That bhav is there. So when we help any individual, we feel, you know, somewhat great. Our ego gets boosted. But Prabhupada says that we must be preachers on behalf of Krishna. We must be preachers on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is the ever well-wishing friend of all living entities. Surudam Sarva Bhutanam. He is the real Surud. He actually accompanies all the living entities through 8.4 million species of life. Real friend is there. And he sincerely desires that all of us go back home, back to Godhead. So what does a preacher like Narad Muni do? He preaches on behalf of Krishna. He actually is serving the Supreme Lord by helping suffering living entities to go back home, back to Godhead. And what does a Mahabhagavat like Prahlad Maharaj do? He also is doing the same. He is also preaching on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And his compassion knows no bounds. His affection knows no bounds. He is compassionate and affectionate towards his father who tortures him, who makes an effort to kill him. So this is the quality of Mahabhagavat which is there in Prahlad Maharaj. And through these verses, Prahlad Maharaj is giving such wonderful instructions which ostensibly are meant for his classmates, but are very much applicable to all of us. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Hari Bol Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for this very nice class. Prabhuji, my question is that suppose at the dying moment we desire of heaven, because of past conditioning we want to enjoy and we desire of heaven, then is it possible for us to elevate ourselves to the Golok Vrindavan Dham from this heavenly planets also, or we have to come down to earth only to go to the Golok? If it is so, then what's the reason? What's so special about the earth?
In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Hine Punye Marte Lokam Vishanti. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks these words. He's saying that when your punya, when your pious credits, they get diminished, martyalokam, you come back to this material world. Now, if you are in the heavenly planets and if you get the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord, then you may be able to make a transition. But otherwise, kshine punye marte lokam vishanti. It's like we have credit in the bank. So long there is credit in the bank, we issue checks. The checks will be honored. But when there is no credit, what happens to the checks? The checks bounce and they come back. Now it is punishable by law also. So anyway, so the point is that kshine punye marte lokam vishanti. So we need the compassion of a pure devotee of the Lord. So when we get that compassion, like Narad Muni, like Prahlad Maharaja, like Srila Prabhupada, like his disciples who are giving compassion to us. So we get that compassion. Then why should we, first of all, think, I mean, to give a little elaborate answer to your question, the training in ISKCON, training that we receive here, is not to think of heavenly planets at the time of death. The endeavor is antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. The endeavor is to try and remember Krishna. So, and who has got this conditioning, you know, to enter into heavenly planets in, you know, in Kali Yuga? I can't think of any such feasibility. So the best thing is just take to the process of chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This chanting of the holy names every day, every moment of our lives, remembering Krishna all the time. Smartavyam satatam Vishnu, vismartavyam na jatuchit. So these are the two fundamental principles, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. These are the two fundas. And sarve vidinishayoho, what is that? Shriyuho etayoho kinkaraha. So all the vidhis, all the rules, regulations, they are the servants of these primary instructions. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So for that purpose, we chant the holy names of the Lord. And we try to remain in constant practice. When we remain in constant practice and we chant holy names in association of the devotees, so there is no question of, and the philosophy that we learn here in ISKCON, there really is no room for you to think of heavenly planets unless you are motivated by it and that is your real purpose of chanting, which is not the case in association of devotees. Anya abhilashita shunya jnana karmadi anavrata anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhaktiruttama. So basically, therefore, there is no abhilasha of any sort. And when we train ourselves that way all through our life, then at the time of death, we'll think of Krishna because we have done it all our life. Prabhupada gives that example. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj also has given this example that the people who are trained in the army, we have military camps all over. In every major city, we have all military camps. Now, there is no war going on, but if you go into a military camp, which I have done a couple of times, you see that the soldiers are undergoing continuous training. Continuous training. They are running, they are trying to, you know, clean the Sten gun, they are trying to load the Sten gun, there is no war, but they are undergoing training all the time. Why? Because when there is war, then they can use the Sten gun. You can extend this, pilots, all that. They are all the time, you know, they are undergoing war pilots, they are undergoing training all the time. Why? Because when there is critical need, which in our case it is the time of death, we will chant Hare Krishna. Is that all right? Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.